Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. And I know it's this weekend, tomorrow in fact, we're going to be celebrating Halloween, that wonderful holiday which every year allows us to just sort of let loose of inhibitions and just enjoy playing characters of all kinds for our costumes, etc. Well, today we have got a guest. It's going to be right in line with the theme. We're going to be talking with Confessions of a Feng Shui Ghostbuster, perfect for Halloween. Because, do you have a ghost in your house? Well, I know we have one in ours. We like him. We don't mind. Actually, we have a couple. But that's beside the point. I want to welcome Anna Maria Prezio to the show. Hello, Anna Maria.
Well, hello. How are you?
I am wonderful, thank you. Confessions of a Feng Shui Ghostbuster. I know I've shared this with a few friends, and they go, Feng Shui Ghostbuster? This is the first? My goodness. Now, you are a certified feng shui consultant, and also you're intuitive. You have worked with a lot of different teachers through the years, and you also are a certified entrepreneur instructor for the Executive Entrepreneur Institute, and you've worked with multinational corporations. So you have quite a unique background.
And yes, I do.
Your background has just, I think, empowered you to get into an area of subject matter that most people would go, yeah. Okay, lady, all right, let's see. Where's your pointed hat? You see, I don't have one. I use Chinese coins. Thank you very much. But you have just got a delightful book here, and it's a story really about yourself and your family, and you originally are from Italy. Your family, your Italian background, has a lot of wonderful stories regarding ghosts and all kinds of things. So tell us about your first really in-depth initiation, if you will, at the age of six into the reality of the ghostly world that you now are professionally involved with.
Well, thank you. That was a wonderful introduction, Donna. I started seeing ghosts earlier than that, but at six I had a very negative experience with a ghost, and I was afraid, as a little girl might be, if a ghost came around and started to bully the child, and so I was very fearful, and one of the reasons why I wrote the book was to take away that fear, and for people to actually relay the experiences that they've had. Because, you know, we are all considered crazy if we see ghosts. So one of the things that I wanted to do was write about my experiences and tell them in a way that gives people an opportunity to actually talk about their experiences. And now I'm getting all kinds of feedback from people about the ghosts that they saw, the experiences that they've had. A lot of it is in the form of, oh, I've never told anybody this, but
mm-hmm.
I want to tell you this. And I think they're just afraid to come out and talk about it. And now that we are into the metaphysical, the phenomenon, and there's a lot of movies and films and television about that, we're expressing it more. So a lot of paranormal societies are getting a lot more information regarding what people are seeing and experiencing. And that wasn't out, several years ago even. So I was before my time, and so
yes.
Ahead of my time. And so I wanted to write this book because I got into metaphysics after I spent many, many years in corporate America as a marketing executive. And my talents were being suppressed. And so when I realized that I needed to express this more, I started to study it very heavily, and I studied with four different masters. I've had lots of experience with metaphysicians, Chinese medicine, and my PhD papers are in psychology, alternative medicine, and actually my paper was in environmental reconstruction. It's environmental and spiritual reconstruction. And so when I was doing audits in homes and when I would go in there, sometimes I would see a pattern of energies that were going to linger there if I didn't feng shui. And so when I realized this, I thought, oh, and a light bulb went on, and I thought, I've got to write about this. I've got to write a book about this. And so it really did start when I was 6 years old, to go backwards. It really did start there because I saw energies that I thought everybody could see, and I thought I was not unique in that sense. But as I would relay the stories, people would look at me in a strange way. In Italy, where I grew up, a lot of these stories came forward because storytelling was an art at that time. And the people in homes would die in homes, and their souls and spirits would linger in those homes. They didn't go to hospitals or hospices. So there was a lot of opportunity in this small village for storytelling, and some of it contained ghost storytelling. And my grandfather was a great, great storyteller, and so was my father. And so that was the entertainment. And as I relayed my information to people, I had to at some point not say anything because of the stigma that's attached to people who actually talk about seeing energies or talking to a ghost or seeing a ghost. And when children see entities and spirits, they tell their parents, and then the parents say something like, oh, it's your imagination, oh, go back to bed, oh, there's nothing there, you're just scared. And then they want the parents to leave the light on.
Mm-hmm.
So the child goes to bed with the light on. Well, what light is an energy that repels an entity, because it's a yang energy. It's a very high vibrational energy. So I realized that in doing this, the high vibrational energy, the higher the better, the more light, the more yang, the more actually, the more inviting it is to humans than not non-humans. And so that's where I developed my theory of feng shui, a house to negate, not just negate the ghosts and spirit and supernatural beings, but to not have them come back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just much like dowsing and doing the pendulum and doing other methods that can create that kind of similar experience.
There are so many cultures that the Chinese culture, the Native American culture, you find people that historically have been close to the earth, like the Aborigines. They will always talk about the spirits of their ancestors and how they need to be paid attention to. And you will have some that are not particularly nice. Some of them are downright nasty. It's not unlike real life. Sometimes you have some real nice people around, and other times you have some real jerks. So those on the other side aren't very much different from those on this side. They just do things a little differently. So this various batch of information that you have here that is literally cross-cultural, a lot of what you're presenting in your book, I think is good because it's so important for us. And I always chuckle when people from various, let's say, religious groups will say, oh, well, that's terrible. That's awful. That's demon stuff. That's blah, blah, blah. Isn't that interesting? In this culture, it's called this. And you're calling it in your culture, which is your belief system, you are calling it this in your belief culture. And wouldn't it be better if you became empowered with a little bit of understanding rather than being terrified? And what you're talking about, I think, is very important with children. It's good to listen to children and not make light of what they say, but you don't want to exaggerate it. You want to be able to listen and to say, I want to know what you've gone through and what you experienced, because whether it's a dream, whether it's a ghost, whether it is an energy that they may see of a different type, it is important to be alert, because when children are small, especially, they don't have any limitations. They don't know that they cannot see ghosts. They don't know that they cannot see auras around people. They don't know that they cannot do this. So when it's something that's done with understanding, it really gives you a good insight. Besides, everybody likes a good ghost story. I mean, for heaven's sake, it makes life.
Yes, they do.
You know,
people do like good stories.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. I know I've had some experiences. Like I said, we've got a couple of them. I know we have a child ghost in our house, and we have another person that's sort of like a guardian. We don't know who he is, but he's been here. We don't mind. You know, it doesn't bother us. But we have learned, like in the area that we live in, we went to breakfast once with some neighbors, and we found out about all kinds of spooky situations that people have been through. Well, we learned that this was an area that many times the Native Americans came into. Also, there was a whole bunch of logging that went on in in the local area. So the stories are just absolutely amazing, and they're always fun. In my eyes, I always go, oh, please, tell me more. And I wish I had a notebook, you know, take all the stories down. But you recognized that you were what you called a genuine counselor, Deanna Troi, you know, the empath on Star Trek. That's one of my favorite shows. Yes, I love Star Trek. Anyway, this is something that I am so glad we are able to talk about today, because it is something that many people don't recognize. It's a natural part of them. And you found that this was a part of your life. Now, your book, you have photos in here about your family, but you go into a lot of details that I think are very, very good. One of the things that I thought was really good is how you bring out the development of feng shui, the scientific fact about feng shui. Give us a little bit of that scientific information and why it is valid.
Okay, well, a lot of people know that feng shui is a Chinese practice, and it's not a religion, and it's not a myth, it's not a folklore. It's handed to us for centuries. About 4,000 years of actually practicing this mathematical system by Chinese. And feng shui is the art and science of living in life in harmony with your environment. So what that culture did long time ago discovered that balancing one's physical surroundings can give us maximum benefit. And so this is done through eliminating or reducing what's threatening to them by creating a harmonic environment and getting rid of the negative influences in that environment, making it very high energy, high chi, high vibration. And they discovered this a long, long time ago. It's just that we're now in the West starting to catch on to this. And we're adopting some of these methods and practices. But this has been going on for a very, very long time. Now, I fell in love with feng shui because feng shui is a mathematical system. And there are about 250 mathematical equations that you can build on that actually reflect homes, like 250 formulas for a home. And imagine how multi-layered that is. And, you know, emperors used to use this method to win wars. They used to overcome territories. They used to, empower people and they used feng shui masters. In those days, a person like myself, a woman in particular, was not allowed to practice feng shui, because of the power that it has. And the elemental balance in the home is very powerful if you use it correctly. And once you use it correctly, there's no entity, there's no ghost, there's no spirit that will want to live in a place that's very high vibration. Now, the spirits that you speak of that are good spirits, benevolent spirits, they try to help us. They guide us in some way. And in many cultures, that's an acceptable practice. And so we don't want to get rid of those people that guide us and help us and are there to, you know, assist us and keep us safe or warn us of things. So they aren't all bad. They aren't all, you know, monstrous things that occur to us. And so that's where we get the negative aspects in our culture about that, you know, through our communications, our television and film. But these ghosts are disembodied spirits. They're disembodied spirits of a dead person to us as an energy. And this energy is what they can manipulate. They can manipulate electricity. They can't manipulate much more than that. They can't manipulate other energies other than their own energy and electrical energy. So sometimes, you know, lights go out. They can manipulate shutters and doors slamming and things of that nature. But, you know, these are all things that we can deal with. It's not some, that's why I wrote the book, because if people read my book, there are things that they can do in their house to make it more yang and to take away the negative influences. It's not too hard, and they can empower themselves to do that. Now, if there is a poltergeist in the house, and if there's something more powerful than what I'm talking about, then they should call an expert and have them, you know, come in and do something more serious. But when you were talking about children, if you watch a child, they'll choose to go places where they feel a very, very strong energy, and that's where they like to hang out. So if you notice, if you let go a two-year-old child, a three-year-old child to crawl in an area, that's where they'll go.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, they're fearless. They're not afraid, you know. They see things. They get the fear from adults as they're growing up, but it's an acquired fear. It's not something that they're born with. And sometimes they have little playmates that are ghosts. And I don't know if you recall, but my son, when he was little, he had an imaginary friend. And he would talk to this imaginary friend as if it was his best buddy. And he even gave it a name. And I don't know if the name was something that he already knew or that was there or they talked about. But, you know, it's not to be ignored, because then you're teaching them something if you don't ignore it. And so so children like to go towards those strong energies, and so do animals. A cat is a very yin type of animal. A cat can see ghosts. A cat can go in areas that are very negative chi, very negative energy, and they enjoy it. But dogs are different. Dogs like yang, moving, they're action-oriented, and they like that kind of energy. Did you ever notice that?
Well, my dogs have seen through the years. They always let me know if there's somebody around or something around that's not supposed to be around. And so, yes, we've had an experience like that with a Scotty. There was one, that's what we have as Scottish Terriers. And a few years back, my husband was on a business trip, and we knew that we had an energy in the house. And it was very obvious because the chimes in the hallway would all of a sudden start playing, and we go, this is interesting. And there wasn't a breeze. Nobody had walked by. Mm-hmm. This is very interesting. So it didn't bother us. But one night, it was quite late, and my Scottish Terrier was sitting up on his hind legs, and he was barking like you wouldn't believe at a particular area of wall. So I just said, I don't know who you are, but you're bothering my dog. Get lost. And it did. Disappeared.
Yeah,
and my little Scotty calmed down. So
that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
So the animals know, and all you have to do is be alert and be aware, and there is that knowingness, mm-hmm. and there will always be that awareness with animals. They're just highly sensitive, and cats are incredibly, incredibly gifted in that way. But dogs are, too, dependent on, you know, on the environment and the animal itself. One of the things that I want to say, too, about your book, you go into colors in your book, mm-hmm. the value of those colors and how they affect one's environment. You talk about compass directions. You talk about various lines, meridians, if you will, of the earth and things like this. You also bring up something that I think is quite interesting, and that's rock salt. Now, there are rock salt lamps that I have seen that are absolutely gorgeous, and they're recommended to be put, you know, to be used in a home because they have such a positive, soothing effect wherever they are placed. And I have seen some of the most beautiful rock lamps rock salt lamps that have been made. And you mention it in your book, and you say it's very absorbent, which salt is, and that it's wonderful just to have one of these lamps in a location, and this is feng shui, and in a location where it can give that soothing effect. It actually affects the ions in the air, which I think is really fascinating.
Yeah.
But how else can rock salt be used?
Well, you can use rock salt to repel entities. If you hear a noise in a certain part of the house, and you put rock salt in that area. Now, I'm not talking about like mounds and mounds of rock salt. Just, you know, a small cup or a handful in a container. They don't like it. So they're not going to go towards it. They're not going to go in that area. And what I suggest to people when they do feel that they have things that they don't want to be bothered by. Now, as I said, if you enjoy them and it doesn't bother you, that's fine. But if not, if you hear noises and pounding, and if you place this rock salt in those areas, and there's other remedies in my book, but that's the main one, then they're not going to go towards it. And I say just place some in each corner of your house. Now, the lamp, I'm glad you brought that up, because those rock salt lamps are great in the bedroom. And they're great in the bedroom because they clear out a lot of things in the bedroom, and that's your sanctuary. So you want to have a very serene place to be. You know, that's where you dream and you meditate, and that is the most peaceful place. It should be the most peaceful place in the house. And
now,
so
what about a computer room? You have today, in today's world, there is so much going on where we have all of this electronic equipment. Would a rock salt lamp do well in that environment? I know living plants do very well, but would that
do
well?
Very well. It would do very well. But to keep the computers out of the bedroom, keep the televisions out of the bedroom, it's not your workplace, and it will disturb your sleep. And I think a lot of people go to bed with their computers on their lap, and then they put it aside and they go to sleep. Well, that's a lot of electromagnetic energy coming at you, and it's not very healthy. And so energy is energy, and, you know, you can't destroy energy. You can't remove energy. It's going to stay here. It's here to stay. It can transform into something else, but it can't be destroyed. And so that's one of the things that I think that most people should tune into. For instance, if you live near high wires or if you have a transformer near your bedroom, that's going to affect you. So you need to repel it, and because that's going to bring in a lot of positive ions. You want to get the best solution for your place where you rest. So to me, I focus on the front door, I focus on the bedroom, and I focus on the office, because those are the areas where we most live in and around. And that's one of the things that I insist on, because, you know, some people say to me, well, I can't sleep. Well, when there's an entity in the house and you can't sleep, I'm in there to find the solution to why you can't sleep. And sometimes it's not an entity. Sometimes it's electromagnetic energies that disturb your sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you know, sometimes there are entities, and I've cleared a lot of them, and I've captured them on film, I've captured them in pictures, I've captured orbs of people. Some of them were huge, and so, you know, I know they're there because, you know, our science today, our theories are being explained more and more every day, and there's no denying that there is scientific proof of the existence of ghosts. We've monitored them. We've recorded them. We've seen them. Many people have seen them. And just because we don't know how they get there, who they are, what they're doing here, doesn't mean they don't exist. And I think we're going to find more and more scientific proof of this as time goes on. And, you know, Einstein believed in it. Thomas Edison believed in it. And Thomas Edison, who was one of the most incredible scientists of our time, and they thought he was crazy because he was trying to find and invent and patent a machine that would transport you, and a machine that would let the living see and communicate with the souls of the dead.
Yes, it was a telephone of type that he was trying to put together.
Yeah, and And, you know, that was back in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, this is nothing new. People have always wanted to do it. But then there were various groups that said, we can't have this because we're going to make this. We want, you know, things to change, so on and so forth. But this goes back. Now, the Chinese have a Hungry Ghost Festival. And I know we don't have a lot of time left, but let's talk about the Hungry Ghost Festival. How old is that?
Well, that's ancient. It's very, very ancient, maybe 3,000 years old. And what happens is that they revered and honored them to bring them wealth. And so they celebrate them, and they leave food for them. They honor them with gifts because they want them to think highly of the living and to bring them the wealth and bring them the messages of wealth that they can become wealthy, that they can become healthy, that they can become empowered. And they do this also in the Italian culture. On Halloween night, when I was a child, I remember my parents leaving wine and cheese and bread on the table and opening all the doors and all the windows so that they can come and visit us. Because it was just out of respect for the dead for no other reason than to do this, to allow us to remember them, to revere them, to honor them, and not be forgotten. And it was mostly for family members. Now, the Chinese do it in a different way because they want the wealth. They want them to bring them money. It's called ghost bringing the money. And so they do all kinds of celebrations around it. In fact, I think it lasts most of the month of August. And it's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's celebrated throughout China. And it's just one of the countries that does it. There's many, many countries that celebrate the dead, and they honor them by giving them a feast day.
Yes, they do. And,
hon,
I know that we're out of time here. Quickly, do you have a website that people can go to?
Oh, thank you. Yes, I have a website. It's fengshuiharmony.net, or the easier one is www.prezio.com, P-R-E-Z-I-O. Or you can go to confessionsofafengshuighostbuster.com, Ghostbuster hyphenated, and you can see my book there. It's also available on Amazon.com. And so, you know, it's available. It's out there.
Thank you,
Anna
Maria.
It's the number one bestseller, actually.
Anna Maria Prezio has been my guest today, Confessions of a Feng Shui Ghostbuster. There's a lot of good stuff in there, plus some wonderful stories about her family, her Italian background, and cultural aspects from around the world. So if you are a believer in ghosts, if you like ghost busting and you want to know more about it, why not find out by reading her book, Confessions of a Feng Shui Ghostbuster, and you can go to her websites, fengshuiharmony.com. Also, you can go to her name, Prezio. What was it, that again?
Prezio.com, P-R-E-Z-I-O, or fengshuiharmony.net.
Right. fengshuiharmony.net. I said .com, and that was wrong. .net. Well, we're taking a break. Thank you so much, Anna Maria, for being with me.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
Thank you. And we will be back in just a moment. Donna Sebo here. Don't go away. More good things to share.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication
and
how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna, and we had a caller that wanted to talk with my guest, Anna Maria, and so we've kept Anna Maria on the line here. Anna Maria, are you still with me?
Yes, I'm still here,
okay,
Donna.
Great. Now, Carolyn, who called in from San Diego, California, she had just so much that she was sharing, and she's not able to be on the air with us, but I know she's listening, and I know you heard part of it. So this is a woman that, one, she's developing her own intuitive skills and her capacities in a very special way. She called herself a light worker. She's experiencing in her own environment all kinds of happenings, and some of them are not so good, some of them are. She has been interested in the feng shui. She said in her bedroom area they feel like there's a portal where there is an opening where some very negative things have been affecting her. So she's rearranged things in her bedroom. But what has really been going on is that apparently near her home there must be a cemetery or something relative to the Native Americans that has been disturbed. Now, here is someone who is psychically so absolutely open, number one, because of her own personal development. Number two, she has a cat that is extremely intuitive, which I think is a blessing. I think it's wonderful because the animal
Absolutely.
Is just going to make her aware of so many things. But here you have someone who is not only in a learning mode, but is highly sensitive. You have an environment of disruption. You have this awareness of all these variables, which I think is a phenomenal gift. Yet she's had professionals in, and she said, it's not working. But she's got multiple things going on multiple levels. And I just would love to see you address that. What would you, and I know you heard her when she was talking, and because of all of our connections, we weren't able to keep her on the line with all of us on. So what would you say to this lady? And I know you've given her information where she can contact you personally, but for those who might be listening and saying, wow, what this woman is experiencing, I've gone through, and I did this, thus, that, or so, what would you say to her?
Well, number one, I believe that probably there are some spirit energies that are associated with where she lives. Either she's near, as you said, a cemetery, a gravesite, a dump site, a hospital, or a funeral parlor. And these ancient ghosts attach themselves and they're earthbound. And when a house is built on top of it, it doesn't mean they leave. It means they linger. And so she's had a lot of people there, probably dowsers, clearing, remedies, drumming, sage, you know, fire, algar and wine, saltwater lamps. And I am suspecting that her house has a door on the northeast and a door in the southwest where there is a ley line directly connected in a straight line from the northeast to the southwest. That's called a portal, and it's called Ghost Gate. If she has that, then there needs to be a remedy to close up that ghost gate so she doesn't get the continuous disruptions.
And, well, that is something that I know that many cultures would deal with, and that is something that is not make-believe. That is very real. And again, when we have multiple dimensions, and quantum physics is bringing this out, this is something that they're bringing forward in attention. Some people would say, well, this is a bunch of woo-woo, but when you experience it, you realize that it is not. And she obviously has been in this house for a bit of time, so there is this combination of things that are all going on at the same time. And that really is very challenging, because then you become confused and you wonder, what do I deal with first? And what I would like to say is, Anna Maria, thank you very much for being with us today again and for spending extra time because of this caller. And I know she's just a delightful woman. And again, we couldn't have us all on at the same time, but that's okay. This is something that I think is worth mentioning. And I'm so glad that Carolyn called in. And I know that she has the contact information to be able to reach you, and that you probably will be able to help her. So,
well,
thank
I
you.
Hope so. I hope mm-hmm. so. Thank you, Donna, for keeping
you are
on
welcome.
Her,
it is
for being persistent.
Absolutely. Donna Sebo here, and I want to get Anna Maria is gone now. She's not going to be with us for the rest of the show. We have some other interesting things we're going to be sharing with you. But I also want to make a comment to Carolyn. Carolyn, when you are learning, and when you are developing your skills and your talents, one of the things you have to be very, very thoughtful about is being a garbage can for everything and anything that's around. Now, that sounds a little bit, perhaps, simplistic, but it's amazing. When we're in the process of developing our skills, when we're in the process of recognizing and developing our own intuitive capacities, so many times there are those people on the other side that are so grateful that there is someone that they can have pay attention to what they're trying to communicate. So if you saw the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze and Whoopi Goldberg, I just loved Whoopi. I think she did such a fabulous portrayal in that character. But the characterization wasn't that far from reality. She became a conduit, and she didn't necessarily do it willingly. But she then found that anybody and everybody was around her all the time. And when this is portrayed in the movie, this actually, I think somebody had the wisdom to say, this has happened to people throughout history, and it has. And these situations can occur. So you need to be aware of how you take care of your own environment and how you will only ask for the highest and best in your environment, and it's a form of discipline. So I know I'm making it rather, seemingly making it simplistic, and I know all of these things are going on simultaneously, but Carolyn, I want you to know something. You're going to come out of this experience so wise. You are going to have an insight. You are basically getting what I'll call a PhD course in understanding what most people don't even have an opportunity to experience. Now, a lot of people would say, thank you very much, I don't want it. But it's happening for a reason, and part of this is going to reactivate old memories of your inner self so that you will be aware of what you need to do. So right now, yes, it is unsettling. Right now, it is uncomfortable, but you are acquiring disciplines that are going to enable you to offer a service and provide a wisdom and understanding in the coming years that are going to surpass what you could even imagine at this time. So now that you've connected with Anna Maria, and I'm so glad I found out that Carolyn had heard me on another show and she had Googled me and found that we were doing this program, and here we are talking about feng shui ghost busting, and she goes, this is what I need to know. Isn't it amazing how synchronicity works? And Carolyn, if you wanted to call in, you know, later on, that's fine. Go right ahead. But I want you to know that, and I know you're listening, I want you to know that this is part of your learning package. So I'd like for you to look at this and maybe even take notes on various things that you've done and really get down to the bare bones of looking at the facts, because you're dealing with multiple levels simultaneously of experiences. And again, and I know I'm repeating myself here, it is going to serve you well. It is going to serve you very, very well. Again, it's not always something that we ask for, but we get it because we're really ready to handle it and to be able to grow from it and learn. Donna Sebo here. If you'd like to call in like Carolyn did, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Also, what I wanted to say is that there are so many ways you can experience things. Halloween's tomorrow night, and I wanted to make this show a lot of fun. But really, I've had experiences of my own. I don't claim to know it all, but I do know sometimes the biggest and easiest step towards getting over fear is by looking it right in the eye. And I'm not saying that Carolyn's fearful. I'm not saying that at all. She's very articulate and very intelligent. I mean, she's smart. She's asking questions, so this is good. But the thing is that when we have experiences, if we shut them all up inside of ourselves and don't try to find a place where we can talk about them, often we make them bigger than what they are. We will compound things. But sometimes there will be experiences that you have. You may see a ghost and you may never ever see that ghost again. That happened to me once. And you go, what in the world did you come into my space for? They're there and then they're gone and you don't know why. But sometimes they will want to be able to communicate to you. And if you're open and you're receptive, it's really something. I'll share with you a ghost story, and this is a true one. There was a Reverend Humble that I took lessons from many years ago. He was a trance medium, and one of his favorite stories was about a student in his class, because he would give classes on developing mediumship. And this young woman came into the class. She was in her early 20s, and she said, oh, I want to see a ghost. I want to see a spirit. She would go on and on and on about this. And he said to her more than once, he said, you are wanting an experience. And he said, I guarantee you, you're going to have it, but it may not come in the way that you expect. Well, she was very stubborn, and she just said, well, I want to see a spirit. I want to see a spirit. She had this wonderful cat that had been her companion since she had been a teenager, and she just loved this cat. Well, this one evening she went to bed, and typically the cat would always sleep on the bed with her. And she was awakened. She said she didn't know why she was awakened, but she was awakened. And she opens her eyes, and she looks down at the bottom of the bed. And she said, here is this woman that is standing at the bottom of her bed. She said, I didn't know who she was, and my cat is just sitting there. And the cat is just looking at this woman, and she said, they were communicating. I knew they were communicating, but I didn't understand what it was all about. And she said, I can remember my whole body just got icy, icy cold. And she said, all of a sudden I realized, I'm seeing a ghost. And she then got horrifically frightened, and she just said, I don't want this, I don't want this, I don't want this, because she couldn't understand, but she said she was totally immobilized. She just couldn't move. Well, as unusual as the experience was, and the ghost then disappeared, her cat curled up at its usual place on the bed, went to sleep. It was just a couple of days later, her cat got very ill and then passed away. And she said she realized that what was happening is that the cat was communicating with this female energy, whatever it was. And she said, that cat and losing that cat just caused me so much pain and so much suffering. She said, I don't care if I ever see a spirit as long as I live. And Reverend Humber told her, he said, you know, this is something that you should consider a gift, because you saw something that not very many people see. One, you saw that animals can see spirit. 2, that they are telepathic, and 3, that there are those on the other side that are there for the animals just like they are for the people. And so she really had, you might say, an eye-opening experience, but it was one that totally changed her life and changed her mind, where she'd been very flippant and just sort of, who cares, I don't really believe this stuff, and she said, now I know. So I wanted to share that story with you. It's appropriate. It's a Ghostbuster story. This is Donna Siebel. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Siebel. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Siebel's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Siebel's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Siebel and illustrated by Ed Gedros. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Donna Siebel publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, I know you're getting all ready for Halloween. It's tomorrow night, and it's such a wonderful event. I absolutely just love the ghost stories and wonderful things that people share. And I think it is just so much fun. Any excuse to have a party is a good excuse, isn't it? I think so. Well, I wanted to share something with you on today's show that I found quite interesting. Now, we have got a fabulous lineup of people that are coming up next month. And one of the individuals that's going to be a guest on my show it's next week, is a woman by the name of Juanita Rose Violini. And she has done an incredible amount of research about different things regarding the paranormal, the unusual, the bizarre. So we're going to be talking with her next week. In fact, let me let you know who we've got coming up. On Monday, we're going to be talking about green smoothies. Yes, health consciousness. We're going to find out how green smoothies, we'll find out what they are, how they changed a woman's life. Kim Caldwell is going to be my guest. And then we're going to be talking with Dr. Beverly Potter, the Worry Warts Companion. Don't you love having that word applied to you? You're nothing but a worry wart. Well, we're going to find out how to get rid of that wart so you don't have to wear it. And then on Wednesday, we'll be talking with Juanita Rose Violini, the almanac of the infamous, the incredible, and the ignored. And then Susie Coutts is going to be my guest on Thursday. We're going to be talking about educating children regarding spelling and math and spelling animals. It's just wonderful material. And to be or not to be healthy, Miles Schneider is going to be my guest next week. So we've got a marvelous lineup of people. The list about my upcoming guests will be coming on by the end of this weekend. Schedule's been a bit hectic, so that'll be. And also my newsletter is going to be coming out. Yes, don't forget, we've got time change. You're going to have to put your clocks back an hour, unless you're in Arizona. You're going to have to put your clocks back an hour because we are going to be exiting daylight savings time. Oh, I'm going to miss it. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that reminder. Don't forget to change your clocks after midnight on Sunday. Okay, quickly, and I know we've got just a few minutes left, I wanted to share a story with you because in today's world, archaeologists are discovering things that for so long people said, nah, they don't exist. Well, they are discovering different places. And in 1912, this is going back a bit, there was a real adventurer. His name was Frank Schroeder. He probably would have been considered, you know, an Indiana Jones in his own era. He was going through China's Forbidden Zone when he was dazzled to see a huge white pyramid, higher than the ones in Egypt. This one had a flat top like Mayan pyramids have. And there were a lot of little structures nearby. And he decided he was going to question the monks of the area and their monastery records, which went back 5,000 years, said these pyramids were extremely ancient. Now, in 1945, while flying over China's Shanxi province, there was a pilot. His name was James Gaussman. He experienced engine trouble and was forced to fly at a lower altitude. He saw this same edifice, and he photographed it, and he said, I flew around a mountain, and directly below us was this gigantic white pyramid. He said it was just shimmering in white. He said it looked like something out of a fairy tale. Now, since 1945, researchers have identified over 100 of the monoliths, and the pyramids were made of clay with no adornments, although occasionally there were some carved stones nearby. Now, astronauts on one of the Apollo space missions noticed 9 dots in different locations in China, and these were more pyramids. They were fanned out over the landscape, and they are believed to be graves of emperors and dating, you know, over 2,300 years ago. They're really hard to find out about, though, but there are so many of these around. You know, Edgar Cayce talked about this a long time ago, and this is the time when he said we will be discovering so many things that we did not even have a clue existed. The amazing fact is they're a lot older than what we perceive them to be. Well, it's the end of the hour. It has been an absolute delight. I'm so glad that Anna Maria was able to be with us talking about ghost busting, and we've got a fabulous weekend ahead of us. Wherever you go, whatever you do on this Halloween weekend, make sure you take time to be wise and just enjoy all the time that you have and let your imagination soar. Give time to yourself. And remember, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a fabulous weekend. We'll be back with you right here on BBSRadio.com, Station 1, same time, same place. This is Donna Sebo. Have a wonderful weekend. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.